When I wake up in the morning time, I like to see you sleeping by my side. I think about the nights we had before. Wanna give you this and more, let you know I truly adore you. Being with you, loving you, that's why you're so sweet. When you kiss me, you're making my knees go weak. We could be forever happy through rain or whatever. Never gonna take the fantasy away from you. Clouds never doubt that I'ma always be gonna hang around you. You're making me feel so good inside. Way I feel when you're loving, it makes me wanna cry. Hope the strength for the things you do make my love dream come true. Moving me to tell you that I love you.
Hey fam, how are you? Welcome back to another life-altering, in a good way, episode of your favorite podcast, I Won't Pretend, Stay Woke, hosted by me, Miss J. Wasn't that like an awesome, awesome song by like one of my favorite artists? People don't really know that much about her. Her name is Alice Smith. Maybe you have heard of her, but if you haven't, look into her music. She is just like the diva. You would love her music. This song is called Dream. I chose it because it kind of segues me right into what we're going to talk about today, which I'll get to in a little bit. So I want to start off by giving a healthy shout out to my sisters, 12 Dope Queens, a unique and strong group of women who kick ass. That is that simple. I'm so grateful for them to be in my life. We are so supportive with one another. You know, even in during times when so much is going on, the best medicine is having people that, you know, that are cool people surrounding you, especially strong women. So again, my 12 Dope Queens, holla back. So, countdown, one more week until my daughter Zuri gets married, officiated by me, her mama. For everyone who knows me, we will actually be streaming the wedding live. Yes, live on December 11th. If you want to know more information about that, you can message me because you guys know where to find me. Yes, you do. Last week, we did a straight dive into intuition, ego, what the universe can provide if you just listen. I enjoyed a lot of your feedback. I really did. Actually, one of the feedback that touched me to the core was a question that I asked a friend of mine in an also subtle way. So the question that I asked was, you know, is it safe to say that you felt a spark of fire on your ass while listening to that episode? Yeah, that's how I normally, you know, start my questions here. I can't help myself. I get straight to the point. And what was really interesting is that his reply his reply was so important to me, only because, and it meant so much to me because he really opened up. And it's something that I don't normally hear many men talk about. So I'm not actually going to share what he said to me. And I really hope that for other men that are out there listening to this, you'll probably get a clue. Because it's nice. Bottom line, it's nice. So here was his reply. Okay, I'm going to edit it as much as I can and just get the meat and potatoes out of it. The most important reason for me to view these thoughts, emotions, as an opportunity for my evolution is because if my decades on this planet has taught me anything, is that it's better to take whatever wisdom there is learned, be thankful, and my spirit as light and transparent as my imperfect, sometimes hypocritical self would allow at the moment. For that, I am thankful to you and this podcast in particular. So, having said that, the answer to your question is yes, I did get a lot out of your podcast. It's like taking cough medicine. You may wish it tasted better, but that is not the point. The point is getting better. It is my intention to become the best version of myself. Period. Fam, that shit was epic. Totally. You want to know why? Because this feedback, again, came from a man. For all those men out there, as I said before, who don't believe in speaking their truth for whatever cheesy reasons, learn something. He lost nothing and gained everything and more respect from me to him just for being that open. And sometimes being open is very liberating. Now, going again to what the topic of our podcast is today. It is time to let loose and let go before 2021. Yes, people, let loose and let go. Why not? What are you waiting for? Letting go can be many different things. It can mean a lot of different actions. Letting go of, let's say, resentment, guilt, anger, controlling behaviors, and the big one, letting go of a relationship that isn't quite to par, right? So we already know about that. I think we've all been through that. No one has ever been in a super, super perfect relationship, even if people have been married for like a gazillion years. We all know this is not easy. It's not like grieving the death of someone. That's a natural process, and that takes time. Letting go of a relationship, that is a whole different monster. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to sugarcoat anything that I have to say, as you know that I do believe in brutality of truth, because there's no reason for me to make it pretty. We're all grown here. And if anybody's listening to this podcast that's under the age of 18, shut it down. It's not your world yet. It's not your time. So, you know, hey, move on to something else. Going forward, this is for the big folks. There are situations when we need to let go. You may not be ready. For whatever reasons, you try to convince yourself that it's fine as long as it's not... Sometimes when I start this podcast, I just start talking a lot of shit and I forget that there has to be some type of like continuum to what I'm saying. So I do apologize, but I'm going to start over again on that. Okay. So bottom line. So when I say letting go, okay, letting go, and you may not be ready for whatever reasons that you try to convince yourself that it's fine to not let go, as it's not because you believe in that person that you're letting go as, or as in is it going to break him up into pieces. That's the reason why you're not letting go. You think that this person is going to be like, oh my God, I beg you to return because I can't live without you. That's the point I'm trying to make. They're not thinking that. You are thinking that. You're having scenarios in your head where you're under the impression that this person is going to break up in solid pieces because you have decided to say bye-bye. And you don't always say bye to someone because it's toxic. You don't always say goodbye to a relationship because that person has been bad to you. Sometimes it is what is best for both of you, because you can't give them everything that they need and they can't give you everything you need. And you know that. Sometimes we're just in denial. You know, that's a sacred word, denial. Codependent much? That's what it is. That's the major word here, codependency. You know, codependency is in a relationship that is not progressing. It's because you can't take a hint. You become codependent. You don't listen to the signs. You know, remember I told you last week about the universe giving you signs? Well, guess what? When you're with someone and you're codependent, they're giving you signs. You're just choosing not to pay attention because you're so caught up in the mist of unicorns, flowers, and rainbows that you forget that somewhere along the line, someone is telling you, I'm not that into you. Yeah, everybody read that book. Everybody saw the show. This is not what I'm talking about, but it does kind of dive into the whole, I'm not that into you. You're not the one. So you're stuck. It's convenient. The sex is great. You don't feel like starting over with someone else. And why should you start over? You're so comfortable with each other. Why bother? Who cares? You know, to let go sounds like this freaking action verb, but in actuality is a process. And I've learned that. You know, sometimes we need to let go because we know that we're not good for that person. We're not good for each other. If you can visualize yourself with them in the future, but they are iffy visualizing you in their future, red flag, total red flag. If they're not interested in introducing you to their family or their mother, red flag. If they're not interested in talking about the future with you in any way, except for the future of, let's say, making a dinner date or making a sex date or making a hookup date or maybe a birthday party that you need a plus one for. If that's the only thing that's the only future they visualize with you, yo, you're in some deep shit right now. You're already in knee deep. You really are. You know this, but again, denial. How do you know if you have a loving relationship or one that is codependent? You know, I don't know about you, but the word codependent is so insidious that when I first read about it, this was like, fuck, this can't be me. But it was me. Yes, it was. It was definitely me. Straight up in my face. If you're constantly like submerging your dreams and life for another person, or you fear asserting what you want because it doesn't sync with their agenda, then you may be in a self-destructive relationship. Not violent, okay? Get that right. Not violent, just self-destructive. Keywords, self. It's all about you. It's not about them. It's about you. I'm going to speak about my experience, because I am speaking about my own experiences. That is what I have to give you. And you already know my weekly disclaimer. I'm not a therapist or a counselor. What I say is based on wisdom, fam. Wisdom. Yes, half a century of wisdom here. Listen up. Codependence usually falls on the lap of women. And I'm going to say this again in case you didn't hear it at the beginning. Brutality and honesty, that is where I go. And I can't speak for men because I really don't know a man's total mindset on this. I can only get an idea based on what I've heard and what I've seen and little bits and pieces and what they're able to divulge and, you know, stuff like that. And sometimes when you have a large group of men as friends and you're at a bar sitting down, a drunk mind speaks a sober mouth. They say a lot of shit. And if you're smart enough, you'll listen to what they're saying, because pretty much it's a total full-fledged confession. I sometimes ask my male friends, So, you know, how is your relationship going? Because, you know, you hear they're with someone for a year or two, maybe more. And you're like, so, is this the one? Is this, do you love the person? And, oh my God, their faces go like stark gray. Or they stutter. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, they're in my life. Yeah, yeah, we good. We're good together. But you never hear the word love. Ever, 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 ever. You don't hear the word love. I don't know why. It's some type of like taboo to say the word. Or maybe they realize they do. I don't know. But they just straight up freeze. It's like, yo, why? Why do you freeze when a person asks you that question? With women, we are like so frail sometimes that somebody asks us, oh, so do you love the person? You're like, oh, yes, my God, I do love the person. I love them intensely. I love them immensely. I would give my freaking left nipple for this person. You'll never hear them say they'll give their left nut for you. Now, would they? No, it'll never happen. Not that I'm saying anything viciously bad about that, but it's just a little disheartening that we put ourselves out there so much and they're just not willing to do the same for us. Well, maybe some of them are, but most of them are not. Most of them are not. You know, as women, we get caught up in relationships that offer us protection, for the most part, attention. We feel beautiful. I mean, they chose us. They chose us, you know, with all our defects. They chose us, and we're so happy about that, that someone chose us. Not the fact that we chose them, because, you know, this is a two-role thing, but they chose us. And all of a sudden, the word future springs up, and that is the beginning of the end. Da-dum. As women, we just have like this fucking uncanny talent for finding men who don't want marriage. Finding men who don't want a full-fledged commitment. They fucking want the hookup. No doubt about that. But they definitely don't want the commitment. Maybe they went through some traumatic period before in their life where they just feel that, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. Did they ever wonder that maybe we went through some traumatic shit in our life that we do want this now? We want this because now we've learned our lesson and we want something better. But the problem with that is that we keep going for the same type of men. We don't change our behavior in the men that we look for. If you start dating a man that is commitment phobe, and you break up, the next person that you meet, and believe it or not, they're most likely commitment phobe too. Yeah. And then the next one, same. And then the next one after that may not be commitment phobe because they're not saying the word commitment. They're just saying they want to be with you, but they're not using the word commitment. They're not using the word future. They don't even want to say the word future. Because if you start talking about the future, they try to cut you off, like, why do we have to talk about that? And then, boom, they shoot you down. And then, there we go. Bad night. Bad night. The night turns to shit, or we just hang up the phone, and 24 hours of silence. And then we start the vicious cycle again. Most of the time, they're literally sending us a straight-up message. Being with us is a convenience. It's a convenience because we make ourselves available. So it's convenient for them to say, hey, what's up? What you doing tonight? Let's get together. And we, for the most part, say yes. Because as long as they keep wanting us, that's more opportunity for us to get them to love us more. Or to want to commit to us. So we get that shit kind of confused. That wanting to be with us out of convenience means that they want a commitment with us. Those two don't match. So it's not that they don't care about us. And probably they do love us. But we ignore this. Because we hear what we want to hear. Despite him saying straight up, nope. Never getting married. Or not getting married again. We still tough it out. We're women. We tough it out. In our minds, he'll want me. He just doesn't know it yet. Favorite lines. He doesn't know it yet. He hasn't come to terms with that yet. In the movies, it always starts that way. You know that, right? And then an epiphany happens. He eventually smarts up, gets on his knee, and professes his undying love and future. Well, that's like fucking 5,000 movies away that we've already seen. And if it hasn't happened to us, it's because we're not in the movie. The magic of Hollywood makes all this happen under 2 hours. Give him time. Setting the goal for him of changing his mind and winning his hand in marriage. Give him time. That word marriage, Jesus, that word is like, it just disintegrates in their hands. Like poof, fire. They see fire when they hear that word. I don't, you know something? No, better yet. Don't you dare think that looking cute, looking extra cute is going to sway him at all. Okay? He can say you look beautiful. Sometimes you got to force them to say you look beautiful. And forget about the long lashes. Forget about the nice nails, the nice little pedicure. You know, forget about boosting your ass up in the air, flowing hair, weave, whatever. Forget it. If you believe that our precious hoo-ha is gold, everyone, guess what? Every woman's hoo-ha is gold, silver, and platinum. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As per the interesting words of Andrew Dice Clay, it doesn't matter, okay? Sexual chemistry is not the same thing as a healthy bonding relationship or attachment. A healthy person will want to get to know your personality, your dreams, your interests, your nightmares, and it's going to slowly evolve into a beautiful relationship, a lasting relationship. If this person isn't asking you about your dreams or your interests, and the only part of your personality they know is what they first got to know, that's all I got to say. An individual, well, most men have narcissistic tendencies anyway. Oh shit, I said the word without faulting, narcissistic, yeah, tendencies. And they may also want to know all about you, but then they may fake the funk and try to be your soulmate. And when I say fake the funk, because they really do look like if they want to be your soulmate. It almost sounds like it. And if you look back, kind of like looking back at the beginning of the relationship, like, wow, we are like totally made for each other. And then you start pulling the pieces of the puzzle apart and start digging through the cracks, you'll notice not once did that person ever, ever say they were your soulmate. Nope. They never said it. You said it. Be fair with yourself. You said it. Someone can be so into us on occasions. Someone can show interest a lot. You know, you're the pair of the year. You're the great couple, the power couple. Everything is flowing. You even finish each other's sentences. Oh, how sweet is that? You dab the sides of his mouth when he's eating. You pass him the bread. You clean his table. You wash his dishes. What the fuck? You do all that. You fix the bed just nice. You clean the house. Make yourself smell nice. You know, wear his favorite perfume and all that shit. No. You find me a man who has married someone solely because she can make him laugh and gives him good head. Yeah. You find me that man. Yes, I said it. Crickets? Yeah. If someone says that they dream of living in an island and you're not swinging in that hammock next to them, you're not it. If they say, I love my freedom and like being alone, chances are you're not moving in anytime sooner or later with them. Nope, you'll be living alone for a while. Yes, you will. So just make plans to have your bed for yourself. We still set goals. They just don't align with their goals. And men, I don't know what makes you tick, and I don't know when you have that light bulb moment on who's the one and who's not, because quite frankly, the ball is on your court. Many times we believe that we're the ones that have the ball on our court, that we make decisions, but we really don't. Because if a man decides to break up with you for any reason, I can't even describe the many reasons why they choose to. They just go. Yeah, they've chosen to break up with you. And if they decide to date someone and they decide to date you, it was their choice. You didn't go out of your way to try to date them. You said yes to them. They didn't say yes to you. You see how the pattern works here? They're the ones that invite us into their lair. They open up the door to us like a vampire. We just have to be asked to come in. So we're under the impression that we're the deciding factor. We're not the deciding factor here. We're not. Because if they say they don't want to be with us anymore, we got to take it for what it is. It's very rare when a woman breaks up with a man because I have a fear of commitment. I don't want to be committed. Very rare when you see those circumstances. Very rare. But ladies, it's not that I'm giving men super props, okay? Truth be told, I'm not. How many men sit at the edge of their seat? I just want to ask you, how many men sit at the edge of their seat waiting for us to propose and sweep them off their feet? That's all I'm saying. We've been trained to wish upon that star. Halley's Comet, really. Being in these types of relationship is like hero worship. We worship the ground these men walk on. Everything they do is like super sweet, super great, super nice. What we do is just because we were supposed to do it. How does that make sense? We even justify why it's okay to be jerked around like this. Okay, perfect example. Look at Oprah. Look at Oprah and her longtime romance with Stedmuffin. Look at that long-time romance. People believe that it has been her choice about keeping it intentionally low-key for 30 years. What makes you think that all these years it hasn't been his decision to not get married? He was already married before. He has a daughter. Maybe he doesn't want to do this again. Why does everyone think that Oprah had the upper hand on this? That she's the one that said, "Nah, Stedman, we're going to keep it like this for 30 years plus. We're not getting married. Nah, I have everything I need in life. I'm good. Just because she has money and fame, you think that's the reason why? Think again. Just saying. Open up that door of possibilities. I digress. Let me reel myself back. Okay? Just let me reel myself a little bit back here. It is so cool to chill with someone special and have a title of a relationship. But what do you want? Do you want to share your bank account with this individual? Do you want to share every day with this individual, being with them every day? You don't have to see them 24 hours a day. Well, then again, now with the pandemic, you pretty much do have to. But you don't really need to be stuck on their faces every single day. You have your thing, they have their thing. But you want to cohabit with this individual. You want to share bad moments, good moments, and all the stuff in between, right? You want to share family dinners. You want to share family occasions without being invited. You want to share birthdays without saying, "What are we going to do for your birthday?" You already know. You're together. You're together. Isn't that what you want to do? We share everything? No, you don't? I don't know. But I think you do. But then we realize their shit is not your shit and vice versa. They're not sharing their account with you and you're not sharing your account with them. They're not sharing their life material possessions with you and you're not sharing yours with them. Because they don't want to share it with you like that. They don't. They don't want to do that. They don't even want you to see what their bank account looks like. but damn right they want to see what yours looks like, but they don't want to see what, they don't want you to see what theirs looks like. You know, you need to tell them what you want. That's what you need to do. But this is really unrealistic. When you do that, when you tell a person what you want specifically, bullet points, you got to prepare to either be told, nope, not happening, I never promised you a rose garden, or be prepared for that person to say, you're giving me ultimatums, that's not going to work, I got to go, I don't need this. Or, hopefully, with any chance, be prepared to hear, yes, my love, I want exactly what you want. Crickets, again. I hear a lot of my friends, male and female, say, I'm not the marrying type. You know, either defending the partner that they're with or preparing themselves for rejection. For more than 30 years, they do this. These are couples that have been together for 20, 30 years. But let's make it less years. Let's try going into people that have been together for like 3 years, 4 years, okay, five max. Although these couples have opted not to marry because of both of their decisions, or one, their commitment to one another speaks volumes, volumes. And you have to think about the sensitivity of this behavior. You know, are we conforming, or are we just like beaten into submission and we're like, fuck it, we're not going to go to where anybody else, we're not going to start all over again. So they deal with it. They don't want to start over. They are afraid to start over. But the person that they're with right now, that particular man, has given them the reassurance that they're in for the long haul, as long as the word commitment, marriage, and future is not spoken. It just happens that way. You know, And the reassurance that's given to the female is either through dinners, is either through presents, sex. Yeah, that's usually where it comes down to. Attention, you know, phone calls, texting. That's what you get. That is your reassurance. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get. Don't expect a ring. Expect a watch. Don't expect a ring. Expect a necklace. Don't expect a ring. Expect an outfit. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I'm just, you know, throwing, you know, shit in the air out there. I'm just speaking to the best of my honesty and to the best of my knowledge. And sometimes when I hear other podcasts talking about relationships, they sound so clinical. They sound so exact, that we have to do this or we have to do that in order to get this done, in order to get that person's reaction. It doesn't happen like that. Years and years of therapy and counseling is not going to make that person want you anymore. It's not going to make that person want to marry you. Okay? It doesn't. So, now, because this man, who is not particularly interested in an exclusive monogamous relationship with you, because when they say they don't want to be committed, chances are they don't want to be monogamous either. I don't know. I'm just saying. But we start to nag. As women, it starts to sound like a nagging thing in their head. Because now we're asking for more. We need more. Because in the beginning, we said, oh, we're good. We're good like this. We don't want anything from you. We just want to be with you whenever you have time for us. However, 2 years go down. 3 years go down. Guess what they want? They want more. These women want more. We want more. Then the men pull away. Why? Because it's too much. It's overwhelming for them. They turn into shrill little babies. They're like, oh my God, I can't take this. I can't deal with this. I can't. It's too much. Too much. It's too much for them to handle. I don't know why. Isn't it too much for us to handle this rejection that we're getting because someone who we've committed ourselves to doesn't want to commit themselves to us, but we still yet stay. We stay. But they tell us, you're not being forced to stay. We're not forcing you to stay. You can go. I'll let you go. Maybe it's not good for us to be together. And then you're like, oh, shit, that's not where I was going with this. This is not the way it was supposed to end. And then we stay. We're like, no, babe, that's okay. That's okay, babe. We can work on this. We'll work on it. We're good. Silence. And there we do it again. 3 more years of this. It's not unusual for relationships like this, codependent relationships like this, to come to a disastrous end. It never ends well. You know, sometimes maybe the couple manages to find their way through dating and courting, and then they do get married. Sometimes, maybe like 2%. But it doesn't relieve the insecurity. Maybe they decided to get married because he was just tired of hearing you nag so much. You know, let's give it a shot. Let's see how this works out. I'm hoping that's not what happens, but sometimes it happens, okay? You know, I just want to be able to give you some life lessons on how not to be codependent on someone. And I'm not saying that my lessons are 100% proof, positive, that they work. But you can dissect what you want from it and work on yourself. I'm not telling you to go out and break up with the person that you're with. By no means am I doing that. I don't want to be the person responsible for this. But what I'm telling you is to take a step back and to look at your relationship and who you're involved with. And is it worth you giving up this much time of yourself if it's not getting you anywhere? Now, if you yourself are commitment phobe and you don't want to go anywhere with this and you're happy just hooking up, then by all means, go for it. More power to you, sister. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. But again, if you want more, you need to really figure out how much time you're willing to invest, because it technically is an investment. It's an investment. If you had the choice to be the one to say, babe, we've been together 3 years, 4 years, let's get married. And they get all giddy and jump up and down and be like, oh yeah, like a puppy, let's get married. Then that's great, because that you would think that's what they're waiting for. But you don't have that luxury. Because if you did have that luxury, you would have asked them already, right? But you know that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. So I am going to make sure that in the next part of this segment, I'm going to just give you a couple of, you know, mild life lessons or examples of what to do, you know, how to learn to be a little bit more independent, how to, you know, practice a little bit more self-care with yourself, maybe setting some boundaries, and most of all, dealing with your past, because believe it or not, most of your past kind of dictates what's going to happen to you, what's happening to you now, and it's going to dictate your future. So, you know, pay attention if you can, and let's see where we can go with this. You know, in a codependent relationship, you often lose sight of yourself. You know, you do spend the majority of your time and energy trying to fix the other person or trying to make the other person feel comfortable. That's kind of like a woman's, you know, One of our anchors in life is that we kind of just like making people feel comfortable around us. We're people pleasers. You know, we become emotional puppets. We really do. You know, there's a movie. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. It was called The Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts. And every time she was about to walk down the aisle, she bolted. Like she was engaged and set to be married several times, and then as soon as she was about to walk down the aisle, she disappeared. She dumped the guy. This is a part of the movie that really stuck with me. Well, there's a part of the movie that really stuck with me, and that was the part where Richard Gere, he's the reporter that went to go look up her story, because you know everybody was curious about the runaway bride character, and as he was talking to her and getting to know her, he used an example of eggs. Yeah, eggs. So what he did is that he kind of, the example of her was the eggs. If the person that she was with liked scrambled eggs, so did she. If the person liked it over medium, so did she. If he wanted fried eggs, she loved it. You see where the trend is here? She started to become that person. She started to kind of like an envelope and, sorry, embrace everything about them. And then she became who that person wanted at all times. Does this sound familiar? And if it doesn't, it's fine. But this is just an example of how being in a codependent relationship often makes you lose yourself. You forget yourself. You forget everything about you. And that's really sad. If they like sitting at home scratching their asses, we adjust and scratch our asses right next to them, because it makes us closer to them. If they're gamers, we learn to play video games, or we learn to tolerate it. If we start to evolve into the female version of them, which is not such a bad thing sometimes, because sometimes, you know, as women, we do need to, you know, get some cojones sometimes, but just not in that way. You need to explore things like your dislikes. Really explore your dislikes. And I'm sure you will in your own way, but I can tell you, when you start to explore your dislikes and you start to see what you dislike about them, you're like, yo, shit, why am I dealing with this? I never liked this in the first place. Ew. But you do it. You conform. You start to explore your needs, your desires. You know, if you're the person that likes being on top of the time and they always stick you in the bottom, yo, shit, flip it over. You know what I mean? So, yeah, going forward. Feelings. Start to explore feelings. It will be detrimental if you don't take the time to understand what you need from a relationship. If you don't take that time, you will slip back into familiar patterns. And I'm sure you know what those familiar patterns are. I can't tell you what they are. They're your patterns, but they're familiar patterns to you. Just because you make them breakfast does not mean he wants you to do this for him every day. Just because, or maybe he does. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't want to be like Debbie Downer here, Miss Negativity. But 9 out of 10 times, they really don't. Making yourself totally available when they want you to does not make a relationship, okay? It really doesn't. Make your own plans. It works for you. Go out with your friends, whatever. Just don't let your entire world revolve around what they want. You can't do that to yourself. It's unfair. And I really don't think that if they have something to do, that they're going to just be like, okay, I'm going to cancel whatever I have to do just to be with you, or just to do what you want. I don't really think that really works. And if it does, you can kind of feel the tension and kind of feel, you know, the ugh that they present you when they do this. Because, yeah, men are really good about letting you know they didn't want to do this in the first place. I don't understand why we are so ingrained into being pleasers. Why did our maker inflict us with this? That we are the ones that have to be the pleasers. I don't remember reading anywhere in Genesis that Eve was supposed to be like Adam's pleaser. I really don't. I don't know. She gave him the fucking apple, as far as I remember. Yeah, she gave him the fucking apple. Anyway, I hate this about us. We're independent. We're self-reliant. We're nurturers, because a lot of us are mothers. We're outspoken. Well, some of us are. And yet we still fall for the same bullshit. We say we don't want him to promise us a rose garden, but when we're given a flower, we see like monumental fucking bushes everywhere. But the bushes have thorns. They really do. I don't know, maybe we're wearing gloves. I don't know. You know, there was once this guy that I was totally into, right? Well, we were sitting at a bar once, having some drinks, just chilling out and stuff. I asked him, quite randomly, I think it must have been like the liquor. I asked, you know, do you ever see yourself being married? And I didn't say being married to me. Okay, get that straight. Not to me. I just said, you know, just curious. You know, he's a bachelor for a long time. I was just wondering. He's never been married. And his iconic reply, I'll never forget, was like, nope. I see myself alone for the remainder of my life. Well, Miss J, how do you like them apples? Straight shooter, huh? And no, we were never a couple. No, we weren't. But it definitely hit home. When I'm planning a vacation, if I'm with someone, I plan around them and I plan with them. If someone that you're with plans a vacation and you're not on the itinerary, don't get mad. Make your own vacation plans. Exclude them. It's not rocket science. I'm saying this to mean that start doing things by yourself without feeling like you always need to be around your partner. Take yourself out to dinner. Pick up a new hobby, for crying out loud, pick up a new hobby. Typically, people who experience this whole codependency shit find it very difficult to spend time by themselves. And when they do spend time by themselves, everybody around them suffers them. Because they remind you every day that, oh, woe is me, I'm by myself. You don't want to keep hearing that shit. Spend time by yourself. Learn to do that. It's for your own good. Just wear a fucking mask when you go outside, okay? That's all I can tell you. Even if you spend time by yourself. Social distance. Stop setting unrealistic expectations. If you place unrealistic expectations on your relationship, then you will be let down. Yes, you will. You'll be let down. Don't think any different. Expecting someone else to fulfill you is only setting you up for some severe heartbreak, my dear. It really is. On both sides, it's setting you up for heartbreak. A killer. I mean, it's like stabbing down the heart, twisting the knife, and leaving it there, heartbreak. Yeah, confession. Learn to be happy with who you are as a person. Not everybody quite understands what that means. To be happy with who you are as a person, that is a journey that you're going to have to take on your own and explore on your own. And it's hard. It really is hard because we're sometimes defined by the person who we're with when we should be just be able to define ourselves. You may get lonely and maybe sometimes manic, but you have to try. You got to give it a shot. And don't use that stupid excuse of, you know, oh, how the pandemic is going to be hard to meet new people. So might as well wait it out. Let me stay with this person and wait it out. Amazon sells toys, okay? Yeah, they sell adult toys. Buy one and avoid future tears and disappointment. This pandemic has no end date, no set end date. Nah, not anytime soon. So if you're looking for that end date, don't. You're better off just buying yourself a toy. Yeah, be alone. Try to be alone. Boundaries. Oh my God. Codependency in relationship often means that there are very few boundaries in place. Chances are you have spent a lot of time worrying about this individual on about everything. You just spend a lot of busy time on your head worrying about this person. And I don't really think they're worried that much about you. They have total confidence in you that you're going to be just fine. So be fine. Therefore, it's important to learn how to say no. Say no to people or situations that are not healthy. Saying no doesn't mean that you're being disrespectful. You don't have to be like, fuck no. It's just say no. It means that you're looking out for your own well-being, even if it does mean that you sound selfish. Be selfish. You have the right to be selfish. Sometimes your tendency to display codependent behaviors, believe it or not, it's pretty much a result of a past trauma. And I'm speaking from experience again. Yeah. I know that this issue has a lot, you know, I'm speaking for myself because I've dealt with past rejections, you know, with my treatments at my home life, daddy issues, abuse, neglect, and other events. Those things stopped me from being comfortable with who I am. You know, those things allowed me to become codependent. I needed to dig things up from my past that were painful and uncomfortable in order for me to be comfortable with who I am right now. But that is necessary for everyone to move forward. Sometimes you got to dig deep and you got to really search, why you're being codependent and why you're so needy. You know, you gotta dig deep, really deep. Okay, confession. Another one of my, you know, every podcast I have a confession, right? Sometimes I have like this pang of envy when I see my daughters having, you know, how they flourished in their relationships. And the fact that I failed in my marriage. So therefore, you know, I kind of forced myself not to overdream, not to shoot for the skies when it comes down to wanting to have another life with someone and dreaming of a wedding or a marriage and stuff like that. You know, I see how their partners adore them and they show it, how they say it, how they, you know, sometimes I see them on Facebook or on Instagram or wherever, social media, wherever it is, and how they are like, oh, I love my partner, I love my, you know, I love my wife. How you, oh my God, and they take pictures together. It's just such a beautiful thing. How they revolve their lives around each other. Someone wants to spend their lives with them and share their life together. I sometimes sit back and it's not jealousy. Get that right. It's not jealousy. It can't be. I'm not jealous of my children. What I'm saying is that sometimes I envy the feeling. That feeling. You know, I fear that I'm never going to experience this whirlwind again. And I'm forcing myself to be content with this. By force, I mean I'm accepting. And it doesn't mean that I'm unhappy. I'm not unhappy. I just want more. And I think that's normal to want more. As women, we create lists of why we are worthy of someone swooping us up and wanting to be the one. You know, I no longer make these lists anymore. I don't make these lists. I used to have journals after journals of writing lists of all of that shit. I don't do that anymore. You know, I don't know what the fuck men want from us. I just don't. With the exception of the occasional companionship and that sacred hoo-ha, I don't know what they want. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think you know either. Women, we don't know what they want. And they're not telling us, so we're fucked. Totally, totally. You know, sex is super important. We all know this. Let's not be fooled. Anyone who says that that's not important is fucking lying. Or I don't know. Maybe like emotionally numb. When you find the one person where you see stars and your toes curl, it's hard to walk away from that. And in that aspect, men and women are alike. We're not going to walk away from that very easily. It's not going to happen. But that's a crutch. It's an unfortunate crutch. Sex is great. But also things like cuddling, that releases hormone, that hormone oxytocin. I hope I said it right. Yeah, I hope I said that because it almost sounds like oxycodone, right? It almost sounds like a drug, but it's not. And that's why this particular hormone is nicknamed the cuddle hormone. You know, kissing passionately releases the same type of hormone. If you're not experiencing those two things, you really have to question why. Going without these two things like cuddling and kissing, it's like going on a crash diet where you starve yourself. Physical touch is important. And I don't mean physical touch like actual like smashing. I mean physical touch, cuddling, you know, the bonding, the touching, the hand holding. That is super, super important. It creates a bond, it creates an intimacy. If you need more touch, fucking ask for it. And if it's not being given to you, question why. Really, question why. What about the fact that you give more than you get? We're guilty of that. We tend to give more than we get. You know, some people are just naturally more giving than others. And they enjoy it. They enjoy doing that. You know, when you ask them, what do you want for Christmas? They go, I don't want anything. I'm good. What do you want for your birthday? I don't want anything. I'm good. And we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. Because we like giving. We like giving instead of, taking. If your partner takes advantage of your giving nature, you can feel like your relationship is out of balance, because it is out of balance. It's one-sided. If you give more to your partner than they give to you, it's off balance. So you deserve someone who can anticipate your needs. You also deserve someone who can at least be able to provide you with the basic mental and emotional needs. At least that much. At least that much. What about when they exclude themselves from your life events? Your partner, just like you, should try to treat you as a priority in all things. And that includes family events. Chances are you have a family. Chances are you have children outside of this relationship, because it's a late relationship. Maybe it's a late relationship. I don't know. I'm just saying. If they express no interest in being a part of these events, like you express interest in being a part of their events, there is a problem. Their life cannot possibly matter more than yours. By no means. Hell no. It shouldn't. Fundamentally wrong. We need to stop daydreaming. If the future that you fantasize about doesn't have your partner in it, it's probably because he has not injected himself into it. So stop. Stop daydreaming. That's what they call it, daydreaming. It's dreaming. And if you're really, and if you're feeling remotely resentful, because we get pissed off, and it's not because of our period, we get pissed off. It's not hormones. That is healthy, and it's a sign for you to dodge out of town if you start feeling resentful all the time. This balance is tilted away from your favor. Okay, so being resentful and angry is normal, unless you have unfortunately become numb and are just going through the motions. And in that case, my friend, you need much more verbal support than I can ever afford you right now. Okay, you can do better, even if it's just being alone. You can definitely do better. Okay, men, I'm going to let you off the hook for just a minute, okay? Just a hot minute. No more than that. There are some of you out there that just don't want to hurt our feelings, and instead stay and continue to be around us because of just that. You don't want us to hate you. Man. Fucking man up. Man up. Okay, I did say it was a hot second. Let us go. We will survive. Stop being around us because you're afraid that we're going to fizzle away or something. We're gonna just like wilt away. We prefer your honesty. We prefer to cry a bit or a lot and move on than not know where we're heading, if we're heading anywhere at all. Shit, hurt our feelings. It's okay. We're good. You think we're not, but we're good. Now, if you know we got a little bit of batshit crazy in us, then, be careful. If we're violent, if you think that we're violent or something, if you see some of that, then, you got to, act accordingly at one point. But if anything, just be honest. I hate hearing I really care about her and love her, but not like that. I hate hearing that. I hear that all the time, and I don't understand why that should be a norm. Bottom line, allow us the choice to carry on the facade. At least you can say, I told you so. At least that much. We all know that there is an intensity that women omit. Sometimes it comes off as a little bit over the top. We express very strong feelings for men that are not looking for that commitment now. And it might feel a little overwhelming to them. We know that. I'm sure we know that. I'm sure we know that. They can't even handle the conversation of commitment, let alone us. Like freaking like dragging them through this to try to force them to talk. So, you know, then in turn, they make us feel guilty, like we did something wrong by expressing ourselves. But yet, when they met us, they loved the fact that we were the type of women that expressed ourselves. You know, what a contradiction. You know, we fucked up by trying to rush into things. Yeah, that's our fault. Too fast, too strong, almost obsessive. So I can see where it may appear obsessive, but it's not. If you're with someone for a stretch of time, it is normal for the person to ask, where do we go from here? It's normal. Don't try catching feelings and getting all tight ass with this. People have to ask. You may not want to, but yeah, it's going to be asked eventually. We know that when things go wrong in a relationship, each person, each individual in that relationship, and I do mean two, I hope it's not a threesome, two, prioritizes their personal needs over the needs as a couple, okay? It becomes all about me, 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 me. If you questioned, especially a man, on this, they will tell you that they value their independence and they are their own person. Where have we heard this before? But this is the lie that they tell themselves. Yes, it's a lie. To cover the fear of commitment, this only benefits their own purpose. So they follow that speech to benefit their own purpose, and they convince us that it's the truth. And we're like, okay, it's the truth. Okay, great. Why am I not feeling this way? I don't know. Independence in a relationship is not really independent of each other. Get that straight. Rather, the relationship is built on this creed, okay? And the creed is, if it's good for me, you should be good with it too. Translation, you do your thing, and I'll do mine, and we'll meet somewhere in the middle. Sounds mutual, right? Right? Yet it isn't mutual at all. It requires that the other person be totally okay with the other's choices. And if you are not if you're not okay with it, well, too bad. Next. I do not want to discourage anybody from aiming to find your true love and companionship. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not that Debbie Downer person. I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you the facts. What I want is that you open your eyes and see what is presented in front of you before you invest years of wondering what's next. Come on, man. Do you really have that many years to invest? Really? You're not getting any money out of this. You're not getting anything out of this. It's an investment gone wrong. Hopefully not, but it usually does. You decide what is next. It's your choice. Everyone wants a happy ending. Everybody does. And I do not mean the kind of a massage spa in Chinatown. But I want everyone to find their happy ending. With that, I want to thank you so, so much for tuning in. I will be back on the 14th of December with another episode of I Won't Pretend Stay Woke. Try not to miss me very much. And with that, I offer you peace. I offer you friendship. I offer you love. My wisdom flows from a higher source. I salute that source in you. Love, peace, and hair grease.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you. You spent the weekend getting even, ooh. We spent the late nights making things right between us. But now it's all good, babe. What I thought would, babe, let me close. 'Cause girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Girls like you love fun and yeah, me do what I want. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a girl.
Maybe I'm barely alive. Maybe you're taking my shit for the last time. Yeah. Maybe I know that I'm drunk. Maybe I know you're the one. Maybe I'm thinking it's better if you drive.
Not too long ago, I was dancing with dollars. Noise really real if I let you be my mama. You don't want a girl like me, I'm too crazy. Where every other girl you meet is too gazy. I'm sure them other girls were nice enough, but you need someone to spice it up. So who you gonna call? Party, party.